Blog Talk Radio.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today, many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Chickens involved, she changed your life and your frame of mind. Sorry, I hope what I'm saying is fine. We fuss, but we take it one day at a time. If there's a fire, you know that she lay in the line. I just close my eyes and curve my mouth. Open my mind and words come out. You're eclectic, you're creative. You the picture, girl, I just painted. I got it, you name it, it's all paid for. Big council on the seashore with the Willy Wonka decor. How this sound, Mr. and Mr. Skateboard.
Peace.
I'm so glad I found you. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Hello. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. And my guest, Renee Bass, is here. I'm so happy. And I want to hear her thoughts and views about the black lesbians. We talked a little bit yesterday. I want to talk a little bit more today about it. I'd like to hear a woman's perspective on that, on dealing with that issue. We're dealing with lesbians. I got my views, but it's better to hear how a woman presents it. And I like what I heard from Renee Bass. She made a lot of sense the first time I heard her, so I invited her to come over and give her thoughts and views. If you don't like it, tough shit. But she made a lot of sense. And Renee, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
You all right?
Yeah, just deal with all right now. It was kind of a rough day. You know, I was looking at your YouTube page,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I didn't jet through all of them, but a lot of the comments that that stood out to me was they were calling you hateful, hate.
What?
I don't understand how if you tell the truth, it's hate. I don't get that. I think that's a trick and a distraction. What do you think?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's the main thing I've gotten from so many people is that I am being hateful, that, you know, that I don't like gays and all this kind of thing. And the problem is that it doesn't matter. If you're telling truth, it doesn't matter how nicely you say it, they will still call it hate because that's just a way to kind of set you up and call you out, you know, call you a bigot, call you homophobic. And if they say that, then that's supposed to discredit you.
You know, wait a minute. I was thinking about that as I was coming in the house. I was thinking about, you know, am I homophobic? Hell yeah. And I got some fucking reason to be, and I can explain my shit. Yes, because that's some awful, dirty, terrible, nasty shit. I'm speaking from a man's point of view.
Right.
Now, I think
absolutely.
It's a little when I go ahead and I go ahead and know what women do, but I think that's it. But I think it's 10 times worse for guys. And I tell individuals when they go ahead and ask me, are you homophobic? I say, look, would you drink from the same glass as you as a homosexual man? I'm sorry. Fuck that. You know, so you can call me homophobic all you want. But I ain't no way I'm going to go ahead and drink from the same glass or nothing. I go ahead and I tell people, I told a woman a while back, I said, look, you got a dog. Would you let your dog go ahead and lick you in the mouth? And she said, no. I said, you goddamn right you won't, because a dog will lick his ass and go ahead and lick your face and lick everything. And that's the same way I see a lot of gay dudes. That's disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, it's just, you know, nowadays, the homosexuals are a protected class of people. So anything you say can be taken at that is unflattering. Anything unflattering said about gay people can be magnified into being hate. And you know, as far as being homophobic, I'm not homophobic. You know, in the sense of that's supposed to mean you're scared of gay people, you're fearful of them, or that they might make you gay or, you know, stupid things like that. Absolutely.
It's the gay
not.
Touch.
I am,
it's the gay
yeah,
touch. I'm that
just,
touch will be gay.
Right, right. And it's none of that. It's just that it's not healthy. And it's not being encouraged. It's not. Overall, it's not. And people... You said you looked at my page. People have tried to argue me down and try the first thing they do, again, like I said, is call me homophobic. But then they move to the whole love conversation. And they think because they bring
up
love.
Yeah, that one kills me too.
Yeah, you know. Just because you say it's love, then people are supposed to automatically just say, okay, let their feelings down and say, okay, well, it's love. And like I said, that's just another code word. That's just another, they're playing, you know, word games with that. Because if you look at the numbers, gay men are the most promiscuous of any sexuality, if you want to call it, or any group. Okay, they are the most promiscuous. They have the most sexually transmitted diseases. So if you want to put your group out there as being about love, well, that doesn't reflect in the numbers because there's a whole lot of promiscuity going on for the numbers to be how they are. So do you love every single, you know what I mean, every single person you're sleeping with? You know,
well, I love the shoes I bought last weekend. Is that the same
right
thing?
You know, and then for people who want to get or who are in love and want to be together, hey, that's fine and that's well and good. No one is stopping your life. But in my opinion, if they want to do civil unions, then that'd be fine. But to make that into a comparison of marriage and wanting to be a part of marriage is ridiculous. The whole thought of it is ridiculous. It's
well, you
awful.
Know, if you really look up how marriage really started, it was basically to go ahead and join two warring factions, and the woman was pretty much property at that point. She really didn't have no rights and stuff.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out how they get in. I don't get what you're trying to do here. I mean, what's the point? I don't get it. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So, go on about your research about the black lesbians.
Okay. Anybody who knows, I've done the videos on gay black men, and I go on pretty hard at them, but
not hard
always...
enough. Wait a minute.
I know.
Not hard. You ain't going hard enough.
But it's two sides to everything. So it's two sides to a pancake, as light as it is. But so on the other side, we have we have a lot of lesbians.
Hold on. Don't be. I'm a chef for real. Don't be giving no cooking analogies here.
Why? Does
it's
a pancake not have two sides? It does. But but you know the thing about it is it's mirroring each other. You know what I'm saying? What's happening with the gay black men, that's also mirroring what's happened with black lesbians. And so I've been working on this video. It's been so difficult because I have so much to say to black women. And as I started doing more research, so many more things about black women and lesbianism and things came about, so much more information. So I had it all the way done, but then I scrapped it when I got some more information. So I can definitely share something with you and your audience.
Go ahead, feel free.
Okay. You know, it every day for me when I go out, and I live in a predominantly black area, but every day I tend to see so many, I guess you would call it a stud and a stem or what have you, together. I see so many lesbian couples, black women. And it's like, what is really going on? And so there's a particular couple that live down the street on the next block. And I guess the woman, she has children. And the one who represents the masculine energy, I guess, she takes care of kids. She takes them up to the daycare because there's a daycare close in my neighborhood. And she's pushing strollers and doing all this kind of stuff. And so she's, I guess, playing the role of the dad in the situation. And it's like, this is the new family dynamic that they're trying to sell to black people, you know, having these same-sex homes. And so as I started looking into it, I found out that 51% or that, let me see, that black women who are, you know, lesbians, bisexual, what have you, what you want to call it, who are in same-sex households, that 51% of them are raising children. Now, when you compare it to white women, it's only 22% of them are raising children in the home. So when I heard that number, and I start kind of processing it, so you see basically women who have already had children with men, and so now they've either evolved into being a lesbian or there was a shift or something happened. Something happened between having these children with men and now being in a relationship with women. Because if you are truly a lesbian, you don't want a man, period. You know what I mean? But we're seeing so many, it's like a second chance type of thing or second part of themselves that come after having these children with men. And then it was a statistic saying that 38% of them had children before the age of 20. And only 22% of heterosexual women had children before the age of 20. So, again, you see these are young women that have babies, that get pregnant, I guess in relationships with men, whatever happened with them to split. So then they go on to be lesbians. So the whole idea that a lot of gay people try to push about being born this way and that type of thing, these kind of statistics blow that out the water. You know, and it again, it shows there is a problem in our community.
When we those are some real high numbers, and you said 51%. I mean, that just opens the door to continuing that lifestyle.
Right, right. And, you know, it's like this, you know. In our community, we have held single mothers at such a high esteem. We put them on a pedestal. We celebrate them. We you know, talk about them so lovingly. And she's a strong black woman. She works hard to take care of her kids and this, that, and the other. So for a lot of women, they get into a mindset that they don't need a man, or they are so hurt and broken from losing that man to whatever situation that he's not there with her and their children. And I believe that's one of the things. There's several different issues in our community, but that's one of the things I think that drive women into lesbianism. Because they felt like maybe dealing with men is too difficult and it's too much of a challenge, or they have been left by men. They have been abandoned. They have been cheated on or mistreated.
And in a lot of women's defense, because I see a lot of guys who just ain't shit.
Right.
Or they care about nonsense and just think women are just toys, and I can understand part of that. But also I see a lot of women who have gone ahead and taken a decent guy and ran him into the ground, and before you know it, you know, she don't want to get past him. So it's kind of like almost like a double-edged sword in a way.
It really is. And, you know, the problem is, though, that we are already, black men and black women are already struggling to have a communication with each other. There's already like a barrier between us two, and that has always been in the plans from the beginning when we got here, is to drive a wedge between black women and black men. Because, see, as long as you are warring with each other, you're fighting with each other, you're not loving with each other. So if they can keep us fighting with each other, and, well, black men are this, well, black women are that, we keep doing that to each other, then that keeps us from actually realizing, well, we need to be in this together. It's about us coming together.
Here's something else that comes to mind. When I look at some of the statistics, I always have to question who's putting out that fucking information.
Right.
Who's putting out that information and they got a purpose. What's their purpose? You know, what does it support? Because I always have to question when some of the things is being put out. You know, just like you get the number about the 51%, 38%. Blah, blah. I always do have to question where that information came from. So where did that information come from?
I actually got much of my information from the Gallup poll, and that is supposed to be one of the highest, you know, esteemed kind of like survey people or whatever you want to call it. They're held in a very high esteem for their work being legitimate, you know. So I got a lot from Gallup. Also got several things from American Progress, which is a website that talks about different, you know, issues in America. So that's where I got my information from. And, you know, again, they're supposedly credible, but we know that people have agendas, and their agendas are a lot of times reflected in these polls or, you know, and stuff that they do. So I'm with you 150%. But just on the level of visually what I see, I would say that that's pretty close to what, you know, I just experienced in life. I say it's probably pretty close for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but and then I wanted to break down too. Okay, so then there's 49% of lesbians or bisexual women who have children. So that's almost half of all lesbians or bisexual women have children. So again, this brings up this whole idea that being born gay and this is how they've been their whole life. That's not true. I don't buy that at all.
Let me add to that. I don't buy that either. I think that's a bunch of bullshit. Because the more you be around kids, you especially young kids, you never see. I deal with the men. I never see a young boy go ahead and want to go ahead and pop out the womb, want to go ahead and put a penis in his mouth. So I think that's a lot of bullshit. It's all who you decide to have sex with, who you want to have sex with, who you feel attracted to. None of that shit about being born gay, that's a straight fucking lie, and it just supports a bunch of nonsense. So when I go ahead and... It is. It's one big fat lie. You are not. You born with certain traits and certain features, but that trait there is just not in you. And you got people who go their whole lives who don't have sex. So you can't go ahead and tell me that you were born that way. I mean, what, were they born that way to go ahead and be without sex? Whatever. I mean, it just don't make no damn sense.
Right. You know, that's why I say all of those type of things that you hear from these gay organizations, that's all propaganda. It's trying to get you to side with them. And whatever they feel they can tell you, if they can tell you, hey, we were born like this, that's supposed to make you legitimate. And since they're born like that, how can we hold it against them? How can we prevent them from getting married? How can we say it's wrong? That's the whole angle with that thing. But see, in the black community, there's clearly many different dynamics to this issue. And I think one of these issues is the fault of you. It's your fault, Chef Rob. Not necessarily yours, but of your people, which is black men or men in general. And why I'm saying that is because think about it. A lot of men have a fantasy about women being together, two women being together with them, you know, but they also like to see women together sexually. So there's a big element in our community as black people about sex. You know, that's one of the last things we need to focus on in the black
community. Yeah, true. I mean, and if you go ahead, and this where you go ahead and you look at us historically, and even if, like when I went to Africa, it's more thing dealing with sex. When the Europeans start to invade and start to go ahead and control certain areas, that's one of the things they would try to go ahead and tell blacks there, it's hot. cover that woman up, put something on her breast. But now when I went there and I went to some beaches and stuff and I see white people just walking around, no shirt on, no breast, you know, they breasts hanging out and everything. But
right.
years ago they tried to tell us we need to go ahead and do that. You know,
right.
sex is a bigger thing, was a bigger thing for them, but not for us. It
right.
wasn't a main, and it seems like everything has to be about sex now instead of going ahead trying to get us on the right track. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like sex. Love it.
Right, who doesn't? Right.
Oh, but it's like if you got to go ahead and look at, you know, who's going ahead and try to tell you, giving you these different ideas about what's going on. And everything that seems that we do seems to go ahead and be a thing that we're following behind them. And I
right.
just don't understand how we can go ahead and get caught up in that when you look at slavery in America and throughout the Americas, the Caribbean. They had one thing called buck breaking. And buck breaking was a way to go ahead and get that unruly male slave and to control him. And what they would do is go ahead and bring out all the other slaves and this unruly slave or several, they would sodomize that slave in front of the rest of the people. This was for control, mind control. And they would stick something up in his rectum. In his anal, if it hadn't been another man's penis, they would put sticks. And this was just, it wasn't just the whippings. It was just humiliation to get control of people. And there's something that don't get put out. Also, a lot of that rape amongst the slaves was not just a white man raping a white woman. It was a lot of times there was a white man raping and a black man and black boys.
Absolutely.
And something else that really stood out to me, I saw, was it was a lot of white women who did the same stuff with force. A lot of the male slaves would go ahead and have sex with them, and they would go ahead and get female slaves. So we didn't have any control, no way to protect ourselves from that, and I just don't understand how that part of our history has been obscured. We need to go ahead and put that out there. This is not no lifestyle where, hey, look, I'm born that way. No, this is something that's forced on you, and now you done took it on as something and trying to make it real and legitimize it. It's disgusting.
Preach. You know what? Man, you said so much right there. You said so much. Basically, we were turned out. That's what happened. And
right.
the people collectively, we were turned out. The men and the women. Now, I've seen a lot of things where people are and read a lot of and just doing, you know, research for my project, but where people were saying, well, it's false to believe that the white man introduced homosexuality to Africa or to black people and so on and so forth. And that's not
it's false
just
based
a,
on
a
what?
European.
It's false based on what? Did you get that from them?
Right. They were saying that this is not just a European thing. Now, look at this issue, though. But when you talk about African-American, there's a different story there. Because even if you want to say there were gay people in Africa, there were gay people in Europe, wherever else, but when you are a slave, when you are the property of somebody else, they can do whatever they want to do to you. So these people did whatever they wanted to do sexually to black people, to these Africans, these slaves, our ancestors. They did whatever they wanted to do to them. So if you can do everything you want to do, every and anything sexually, to another person, what does that do to us? How does that change us and forever shape us and even into today? So I really feel like black people became much more highly sexualized, you know, African-Americans specifically, after going through slavery, after going through all those periods, and then we have to even remember after that. You know, you still, as a woman or man, could still be raped and things done to you. So after dealing with all that pain and all that trauma, we then, as a people now, we are still highly into this sexual thing. We are so sexualized. It's about sex for us constantly.
You know what? And it's sad that you can't go ahead and get a lot of young people to go ahead. In a way, it's good. In a way, it's bad. But No, it's all bad. I see a lot of young people, they ain't involved in PlayStation or going here and doing sports. They want to get out and go ahead and have sex. Let me throw something else at you real quick.
Okay.
And the slavery in America, honestly, I mean, from what I saw, was a lot easier for black folks, for Africans, than it was in the Caribbean and in South America. They got done 10 times worse. Maybe even numbers even higher. They got done a hell of a lot worse than what was going on in America. In America, it was bad. But in the Caribbean, a lot worse. In South America, in Brazil particularly, much, much worse. And if you go here and you look at like Brazil, Brazil's got a whole lot of homos and in these so-called Latin countries. You look at how these people had slaves. You look at how many homosexuals are coming out of those areas and coming to America. A whole lot of people in Brazil, a lot of guys in Brazil going to Europe to get sex changes.
Real absolutely. Fair.
And I'm
absolutely.
Trying to, what the fuck is going on here? What the hell? Did I miss something?
Right. You know, I mean, but this is the thing, though. Like I said, we are so traumatized, and I don't want to sit here and blame the white man and blame slavery, but at the same time, we have to acknowledge the fact that there is a difference between us and other races. There is. It just is. You know, other people are immigrants, and they made the choice, the collective choice, to come into this country. When you are taken somewhere against your will, and then every and anything is done to you, I'm sorry, that changes your mentality. It changes how you are. It changes your feeling about yourself and your people. So to then have other races of people try to say so many things about us, I mean, if you really look at it, we are so strong as a people. I mean, we have a lot of faults, but we have went through so much, and these other races have not even touched the level of what we have been through. But, you know, to touch back on the issue, I just want to say this, too, about slavery really quick. With black men, you know, they were raped, you know, a lot of things sexually were done to them, and the slave owners would dress up black men in, you know, dresses and put makeup on them. And that was done as a means to emasculate them and to humiliate them, okay? And then they would force them into these sexual acts. Now, the sad part about this is you have today when black men are choosing to do this to themselves, you have today where these black men have actual channels. There was somebody I was kind of going back and forth with on YouTube, has actual channels as a black man, supposedly, okay, with wigs on, showing you how to put your wigs in, showing you how to do your makeup, showing you how to do your nails. And this is what we have now. When we first got here, you were forced to do this because you were men. And they wanted to emasculate you. They wanted to make you lower and less than what they are. And now you have pride in it. You have pride in it. You're happy about it. You think it's a great thing. And, it just shows the sickness that we have in the community. It just shows how sick we are.
You know what? I can't let you get away with that. I do blame the white man because you look at how many times they locked us up in these prisons.
Right, and look what goes on now.
Picking you up and throwing you in jail for nonsense, for ridiculous stuff, for loitering. You know, you get a chance. I want you to look up what convict leasing is. They would pick people up, and a lot of brothers just disappeared. But they were treated a lot worse because what they would do was they had a lot of coal mines throughout the Southwest Virginia and Tennessee and a few other areas. And they would go ahead and just pick people up to work in there for free for years.
Yeah.
And when people go ahead and say, you know, we shouldn't be talking about reparations, hey, anybody who worked in them coal mines definitely need to be reparations because that came right after supposedly the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. And they did that convict leasing I think right after the 1870s up until the 1930.
Right.
And it's still a form of convict leasing going on. It was still going on after that, even to this day. They were exchanging prisoners to go ahead and make them work to making them work for different industries. And they kind of do
right.
that shit today. So when you go
they
ahead
do the very same thing today.
Yeah, when you get into these prisons, you got somewhere, if you're going to be that, they got to get a way to control you. They would send an individual in there to go ahead and rape you. So you do have to go ahead and blame the white man for this, because this is what they, one of their controlling mechanisms.
Right. And, you know, you're so right about everything you said. And the sad part about it is you look to a mother, now with this issue with black women, you look to a mother as, you know, the rock, you know, emotionally. So now we have all of these women out here having babies. But are they really mothers? And then on top of that, they're now getting into relationships with other women. So that's compounding all of these issues coming up in our community. So I think a level of it has to do with freakiness sexually. Like we talked about all the things that happened to slaves and were done to us and sexualized us. So an element of it is about being freaky, is about being quote-unquote nasty or doing whatever you want to do in the bedroom or wherever else. So there's a lot of black women who have been turned out just on the pure fact of in our community we are pushed by, you know, the media. You are either pretty much a slut or you are a fat mammy. And that's kind of what they have put out there about black women from the very start. So a lot of black women have accepted that for themselves, and let's not forget the music, right? The music has a big role in that because you hear so many rappers and they'll talk about, oh, this B did that, my girlfriend got a girlfriend. And
yeah,
all this
I see that just... And that's disturbing in itself. I see so many, there's no more black radio stations. I got a lot of people called in, but nobody got their hands up. I see that so much with what used to be black radio stations, but they are owned by a white group coming out of Texas Clear Channel. You know, let's make that perfect,
right.
A white group. Okay, so you will not go ahead and see any so-called black radio stations get involved with dealing with some real issues that affect the community.
No, it's
they
not
constantly play that nonsense over and over and over. Even the stations that go ahead and talk about playing the oldies or whatever,
right?
They still go ahead and play that nonsense. But when it comes down to being that so-called adult conversation, they don't really give you the dumb conversation. They give you stuff to go ahead and talk in circles and more bullshit.
Now, let's break it down. I'm going to break this down a little bit. Okay, so we got the music. We talked about the music. And the music is encouraged for young women, young black women, to be bisexual, right, to have sex with men and women. They promote it as being fun and exciting and all these kind of things. Now, again, we have to look back to our home life, right? So we have such high numbers of single mothers, which is coming up pretty close on 80% of our community are the product of single mothers. That's very sad. So when you look at numbers like that, then we talk about how the black male child can pick up certain feminine behavior and so forth because of that condition. But what we miss is what happens to the little girl in the situation that does not have a father in her life. See, it affects children across the board. It doesn't matter boys or girls, but there can be different ways that it affects them. So when we look at a lot of young black women who came up in single mother homes, one of the aspects is they saw women in positions of power. Right, because they had mama, grandma, aunties, you know. So they had women in positions of power who were running things, what they said goes, and this is what I do, because she said this is what I do. So they were never able to see men in leadership roles because they never experienced that in their life. It was always their mom. So if you take that And then you added to perhaps the mom has said negative things about the father to the child. As women, we tend to align with our mother so much because as a woman, we can empathize with her, unlike a man can't. So not that he can't, but not to the level another woman can. So we'll align with our mother. So if mama hates daddy, then we begin to hate daddy too. So daddy begins to represent all men. Daddy begins to represent black men in general, right? So when you, as she grows up and she gets into the world and dating, and she might get into a relationship with the black male, it's going to be tougher for some of these women, again, not all, but for some of them, to kind of be somewhat submissive a little bit or to kind of step back a little bit and perhaps give him some room to be somewhat a little dominant or masculine in the situation, because these women begin to see themselves as being the boss. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of black women will not have too much of a problem with having a man that doesn't have a job or doesn't have a car or doesn't have certain things, because they are used to seeing the role of the woman being the leader, of the woman being the head of the household, telling everybody else what to do. So some of them play out the dynamic in their personal lives in that kind of way. Then you have other women who are resentful and hateful, period, because their father was not there. So these women tend to not respect men. So not only do they not, so you have the ones who want to be dominant, who want to run things. Then you have the ones who just straight out don't respect men, right? So they automatically have a certain level of expectation from men. So they expect him to, you know, leave them, to have sex with them, and then he's gone. If they make a baby, to not take care of the baby. So they automatically project this disrespect on this black man from day one. And that's one of the reasons why the relationship will never work. Because if you have no respect for the man that you're with and the father of your child, how can you build a real union behind it? So we have a lot of different factors. And there's another one. This is a woman, a lot of times, who was possibly molested or went through sexual abuse. And sometimes what happens with women in that situation is they begin to fear men. So we have the ones who want to dominate men. We have the ones that, and then we have the ones that fear men. So you begin to associate women with being safe, because perhaps men, every time you were around a man, and again, if you grew up in a single mother home, you didn't live with a man necessarily. So when you do get out there and you see men, then you have that mistrust of them, and you have a certain level of fear. So to be with another woman is comfortable for you because you feel safe and you feel like, okay, well, I'm good. Nothing. She can't do anything to me like a man could do to me.
So wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. I remember at where I used to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was like this love triangle with these lesbians, right? It was hilarious to me. But it was the two, they were a couple, and then this new person who got transferred to the job, she began to go ahead and deal with the other, with one of them other two. So what happened was, they used to have these bowling outings, right? And mm-hmm. this one particular Friday, the new girl got upset about the old girlfriend, and she pretty much mopped up the damn bowling alley with that girl, man. She beat the wow. crap out of her. She beat up both of them because the new girl was not included in the date. Okay, so when I hear this thing that she can be comfortable with these women can be comfortable with another woman. Women can be brutal too. I also lived in California with a salt and pepper couple, right? The dominant one was black, and the white girl, she was the housewife, but the Sister was from Indiana. Man, she would beat this white girl up, man, slap her around in public. One day I was at the store, at the liquor store. I seen her say, "Hey, how you doing?" And she slapped her at the store. She said, "I told you I needed money, something." Man, I mean, these can be some brutal relationships, even worse than being with a man. And where one of the women killed this other woman. So, you know, to go ahead and think that you go, it's going to be safe to be in a relationship like that, that's a falsehood, isn't it?
Oh, you were so right. And again, that's one of the things that I found out in looking into all of this was that the domestic violence level for lesbian couples is off. It's
isn't
off
it?
The hook.
Isn't
it? It is. It's huge. And
isn't it? I see some young girls here where this girl was in high school, and her mom knew that she was going that route. And we were at the house, and this girl come running in the house, and her girlfriend was outside, and said, "Bring your ass back out here."
Mm.
She had beat them. When her mom went upstairs to go in and check her out, you know, and she kind of like came downstairs, her lesbian lover beat the shit out of her. I mean,
wow.
beat the brakes off this girl. My face was messed up. I was like, it's amazing. But I know that the domestic violence month is pretty goddamn high. But a lot of it don't get reported either.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is very high because you have to think about it, okay? And it's also extremely high in gay male couples. But think about it in this way. When you have a man and a woman, each of them tend to have a little reverence for each other because most men don't want to hit women or were raised not to hit women or, you know, don't feel it's right to do so. And then a lot of women would not want to sit up and straight up fight a man unless she's just crazy and some other issues. Most women will not want to just sit up and box with the man. So because of that and because, you know.
I've seen a few. These are the ones that really, I'd be like, come on, you know, you need to cut that out. Because I came across one that wanted to go ahead and do that with me. Oh, you know, stop looking at my woman. I was like, you know, what's your problem? And got in my face. Ooh.
It was a woman?
It was a woman.
Wow.
Got in my face.
Wow.
I'm not a little dude by a long shot. Okay. But, you know, she got close, got up in my face, and I had to go ahead and grab it and put it in a hole real quick.
Wow.
You sit your ass down somewhere. You know, you overstepping your boundaries, you know, right there. You know, get on back. You know, if you don't want to, you know the game. You know, your hoe chose me type deal. And she had no business doing that.
Right.
So, you got to go ahead and look at it that, you know, that some of these women out here, they gotten to the point where they think they can go ahead and challenge a man who's a man.
Right. But see, that's the thing, though, is when you put two of the same sex together, there's no longer that reverence there that a man and woman have for each other because she's a woman, I'm a woman. So if I want to hit her, I can hit her. And if she hit me back, she hit me back. You know what I mean? There's not that level of, okay, well, I'm going to leave instead of keep fighting with you. So it's a lot easier chance to actually get in a straight up fight with somebody. I mean, even beyond, you know, arguing and all that stuff, but to actually get physical. So the same thing happens with gay men because you're a man, I'm a man. So I'm pissed at you or whatever the situation gets to that level. Hey, then we can go ahead and really fight it out. So this
didn't that happen to that young football player on the East Coast?
He wanted
to break up. With his lover,
goodness,
huh?
His name is Kwame, I believe.
Fight broke out, and shit. He wound up stabbing him or something.
Yes, he beat that man badly. It was a white man, so you know, it was really blown up. Yes, it was a white man.
Wow.
I will have to send the pictures to you because I know exactly who you're talking about. His name just slips by me at the moment. but he was a football player for the San Francisco 49ers.
And, not that one. That's the new one. But I'm talking about the young kid, the high school kid.
On the East Coast.
I can't remember his name. It was a young high school kid.
Yes. Okay. I know what you're talking about. I think so, too. Did they die or?
No. Yeah, he stabbed him. He stabbed him. The high school kids stabbed him. And the dude he was messing with was 27. And this boy was in high school.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. But it's the same thing that happened, too, with the cat with the 49ers. Him and his boyfriend, he I guess, was, of course, the masculine one in the situation.
That happened.
And,
when did that happen with the 49ers?
Maybe a couple of years ago. It might have been like 2010, maybe.
Damn,
it's not been over 5 years, I don't think.
I got to go ahead and stop drinking so much tequila. I don't remember that shit, man. What the fuck?
But yeah, he had a white boyfriend too, so you know that was bad. So you're a black football player, you're a big dude, and you got a white boyfriend, and you beat him like that. So he had to go to prison. Of course, he had to do prison time. But he beat this guy really, really bad. And the reports of what it was over, I found two different things. One said it was over underwear. I don't really know what the situation with that was. And
who was
one,
unaware?
Right. And one was one was something about, you know, one the football player was in a bad mood and he started picking at the boyfriend at the they went out to eat somewhere and things just escalated. So I don't really know and it really doesn't matter, but the fact is that he went to prison for doing so. So to think that these relationships are just going to be so much more comfortable with
that domestic violence.
Domestic
violence thing is pretty high.
Right. And to say that, because these are two women, you know, she's going to know what another woman feels like and how she can be vulnerable emotionally. Yeah, that's all well and good. But let's not forget how manipulative women can be. How vindictive women can be, how jealous women can be, how overly emotional women can be. So you have to look at the good. If you're going to just try to promote this as a good thing, no, you need to turn it over and look at the bad things as well. And they say that, and even in my research, it was saying that a lot of lesbians suffer from a lot of issues domestically. You know, unhealthy attachment to their partner, manipulative behavior and emotional dependency and over-enmeshment. So they, you know, get intertwined in each other in a certain way, and it's just extremely unhealthy. Because what people don't understand is a male-female relationship has a certain level of balance to it. Because, see, we're both bringing the yin and the yang. We're both bringing something different to the table. He is a man. His mind works in a different way, typically, than mine would as a woman. And so you put those things together, not only do you get life, but you get a certain level of balance, a certain level of understanding of each other that is not going to be the same when you take two women or two men. It's just not, that's counterfeit. It's not legitimate. So, but to talk about, to kind of go back on the lesbian issue with black women specifically, when I talked about the different types, so there's a lot of other types that you can put into the situation, but I think a lot of black women now deal with those things, the disrespect. A lot of the women have fear of the men, and a lot of women just want to be dominant over men. So when you put all these things together, you get the kind of climate that we have now. Now, a lot of black women in this time don't tend to have the same desire, or they have it, but it's not really exhibited a lot, but the same desire to get married. See, I can remember even when I was young, and definitely probably my parents' generation, that, you know, women desire to be a mother and a wife, or wife and mother, in that order. But now, it's like the pinnacle of a relationship with a black man and black woman is to be somebody's baby mama or baby daddy. That's like the pinnacle, right? That's like our new form of marriage in the black community in a certain way, if you want to look at it like that. So when you have that as the highest source, being a baby mama and baby daddy, you still lack a real foundation. And then you have to look at, we can't take out the fact that there's a lot of black men in prison, a lot of black men. It's something like now 50% of all black men have either been to prison, are in prison, or probation or something to that level. So then you have to wonder, what's happening to all those black women? So a lot of them are, that's why so many baby mamas, because the men can go around and sleep with so many different women. You know what I mean? There's not a whole lot to pick from depending upon where you are in life. So when you do that, then it becomes, okay, well, I would have to share my man with these women in a certain level. So a lot of women then, because of that freakiness, because of maybe issues they have when they were younger, they are okay with gravitating towards a masculine woman because it gives them a certain sense of being with a man. You know what I mean? Because these, oh, man, these studs, they call them today, I mean, you would think it's a man up and down.
These guys who call themselves thugs, these cats are a joke. Man, these clowns be making me laugh. I see them and just be cracking up. Man. I'll be like, oh, man, you guys are ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
Guys are ridiculous. And there was one YouTube video where this guy was tough, hard. And this guy was like, you know, the other guy walked up to him and just slapped the shit out of this dude. This dude screamed, ah! And walked away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, these cats, you know, they're paper tigers, man. These guys, they're not of them a bunch of punks, and they with them too much of shit. And
no,
so that's why I think
for them
types to get turned out.
But see, you know, it's like this: people adapt, humans adapt to any situation you're in. So whatever's going on, that's one of the things that we can do. Is even if things are bad, we can adapt to them being bad. If things are good, we can adapt to them being good. And so I feel like that's what a lot of black women have done now is they've adapted. They've adapted to what is available in their community. So because in a lower socioeconomic level, there's a lot of the black men who are in prison, okay? Or there's a lot of black men who maybe are available but already have women or children or whatever. Because I have to pull up that number, but most of the black lesbians, a very high percentage, are in poverty. They live, you know, at the lower level of the socioeconomic ladder. So
are you sure about that?
Absolutely. Let me get the number. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. The poverty rate for black women, the poverty rate for black lesbians is 21.1%, but it's 4.3% for white lesbians. For black gay men, it's 14.4%. So even though we're saying poverty, we still have to remember what they would consider above poverty is really still poverty. So these are just the ones who are really at the bottom. And that's already 21% when white people have 4%. I mean, it's really ridiculous when you think about it. So that's why when people say there's no gay agenda against anyone, there's no gay agenda against black people, it's like, how could you not see that there's something going on? All of these numbers coming out, go outside in your neighborhood, walk around, go to the mall, go to the movies, do whatever, and you will see it for yourself. The presence is there of what's going on. So it's not just a lot of inflated numbers, not to say that they are never inflated, but it's also a real presence in our community. So again, black women, as humans do, they have adapted to their situation. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but a woman, if she's in a stressful environment, if she's in an environment where she's in fear, we actually begin to build up testosterone. It begins to increase in women who live in a sense of fear. So you can imagine black women who grew up in very, you know, violent neighborhoods around a lot of crime, inner city areas. She doesn't really have that freedom to be feminine because everybody got to be hard. Because if you're not hard, you're going to be weak and taken advantage of. So even the girls have to have a sense of armor and a sense of toughness to them as well. So when you think about that and you match all these things up, and then that's the biological element as well, saying that, okay, well, they're in a state of fear, that testosterone builds up. So all of these things are just a symptom of a much, much bigger problem. And, you know, unless we get that problem dealt with, then a lot of these things are just going to continue. But nonetheless, they are happening. And the sad part about it is, to me, that is the children, because most of these women have children. So I feel hurt for the children because I'm thinking they're automatically not getting a healthy family dynamic because they have this woman who's pretending to play daddy. And in looking up all of this stuff, and I went to a black lesbian website and I watched some videos, and they had a legitimate, like, conference and session where they were talking about issues amongst black lesbians. And these were all what they call studs, okay? And they were saying, should your girl's children call you daddy?
Ooh.
Think about that. This is a real legitimate question. This is a real legitimate issue in the black lesbian community. Should your girlfriend, woman, whatever you want to call it, should her children call you daddy?
That was a topic. That was something they were discussing.
That was a topic. That was a real topic. And obviously it concerned a lot of them, and they were speaking on it. And it hurt my heart. It hurt my heart for those babies. Because you have a daddy, and he is wherever he may be, but now you can have your mama telling you that this man is your daddy. I mean, what the hell is going on? What can you expect to get from that? What can you expect that child to think is normal and healthy for a family when they grow up? See, that's why so much of this stuff is being reflected, because, again, it has a lot to do with the family structure. Because when you come into this world, the environment that you are in has a lot, does a lot to reflect what you end up growing to be. I mean, not to say that people can overcome things, absolutely. But in order to overcome them, you have to be aware that they exist. So you're talking about a lot of people who don't ever go out the hood. You're talking about a lot of people who've never traveled or been anywhere else or have any level of consciousness. So they begin to think these things are healthy and normal and natural and that they're acceptable. So the cycle continues and continues. And when you see mama didn't have a man that wanted to really be with her and stay with her, grandma didn't have a man that wanted to be with her and stay with her, aunties don't have a man that wanted to stay with her and be with her. Or if they had a man, he was a cheater, or he was in and out of prison, or he was no good, or whatever you want to call it. So a lot of black women already are not having healthy relationships with black men from the day they're born. So what else can you expect but to get a lot of lesbians or get a lot of wild sexual behavior? Because we've had everything pushing black women in that direction. And it is much more acceptable in society to be a lesbian than it is to be a gay man. You know, like I said, to some men, they really embrace it. And they like it, you know? And it's really sad. It's really sad that this is going on.
I'm disturbed.
Yeah.
I, let me, you know what, man? I'm, I, I didn't get my wine tonight, and I'm not doing, I'm not handling this well.
No.
I'm sitting here just,
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something that will blow your mind.
Yeah, it's already blowing my mind, trust me.
When you see my video, you're going to be like, what? Because, and there's so much I couldn't put in there, but in doing all the research, all the pictures, I mean, some of the most beautiful black women, gorgeous black women of all skin tones, beautiful, nice in shape.
Hey, okay, I can't look at that. That's gonna disturb me and give me nightmares. That's gonna bother me.
Yeah. I
can't see that. That's gonna hurt me.
You know, because there was a time when people thought lesbians were ugly or fat or, you know, they couldn't get a man or however you want to look at it, you know. But that's not the case at all, actually.
It's not. And it's the more disturbing part about it. Like, okay. Oh, man. I don't know. They could
definitely get a man. They could definitely get a man with no issue. So, you know. And see, this is the same way that you feel is how I feel when I see attractive black men who are gay or very nice, built, tall, good-looking black men. It hurts. It's like, wow. You take it personal to a certain extent, you know. like, wow. You know, not to say that I would be with him, but wow, this is just what is not available out there.
Okay, all right. Hold on, I'm trying to get my thoughts together here. Let me play some revolutionary shit here right fast to get back on track.
Niggas are scared of revolution. But niggas shouldn't be scared of revolution. Because revolution is nothing but change. And all niggas do is change. Niggas come in for murk and change into pimping clothes. They just speak to make some quick change. Niggas change their hair from black to red to blonde. And hope like hair that looks will change. Niggas kill other niggas just because one didn't receive the correct change. Niggas change from men to women, from women to men. Niggas change, change, change. You hear niggas say, things are changing, things are changing. Black nigga things, black nigga things that go through all kinds of changes. The change in the day that makes it rap and rave. Black power, and the change that comes over them at night as they sigh and moan. Light side, ooh, light side. Niggas always going through bullshit change. But when it comes for real change, niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are actors. Niggas are actors, niggas act like they're in a hurry to catch the first act of a great white hope. Niggas try to act like Malcolm, and when a white man doesn't react to them like he did Malcolm, niggas wanna act violently. Niggas act so cool and slick, causing white people to say, what makes you niggas act like that? Niggas act like you ain't never seen nobody act before. But when it comes to acting out revolution, niggas say,
I can't dig them actions.
Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about getting high and riding around in L. Niggas to get high and ride to hell. Niggas talk about pimping, pimping that, pimping what? Pimping yours, pimping mine. Just to be pimping is a hell of a line. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about your mind, talk about my mind stronger than yours. I got that bitch's mind upside. Niggas don't know a damn thing about your mind, but they'd be right. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas fuck. Niggas fuck, fuck, fuck. Niggas love the word fuck. They think they're so fucking cute. They fuck you around. The first thing they say when they're mad is fuck it. You play a little too much with them. They say fuck you. When it's time to TTP, niggas are somewhere fucking trying to be nice to them. They fuck over you. Niggas don't realize while they're doing all this fucking, they're getting fucked around. But when they do realize, it's too late. So niggas just get fucked up. Niggas talk about fucking, fucking that, fucking this, fucking yours, fucking monsters. Not knowing what they're fucking for. I ain't fucking for love and appreciation. Just fucking to be fucking. Niggas fuck white thighs, black thighs, yellow thighs, brown thighs. Niggas fuck ankles when they went out of thighs. Niggas fuck Charlie, Linda, and Sue. And if you don't watch out, niggas will fuck you. Niggas will fuck fuck if it could be fuck. But when it comes to fucking for revolutionary causes, niggas say fuck revolution. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are players. Niggas are players, are players. Niggas play football, baseball, and basketball while the white man is cutting off their balls. When the niggas play, ain't tired enough to play with some black thighs. Niggas play with white thighs to see if they still have some play left. And when ain't no white thighs to play with, niggas play with themselves. Niggas tell you they're ready to be liberated, but when you say, let's go take our liberation, niggas reply, I was just playing. Niggas are playing with revolution and losing. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas shoot off at the mouth. Niggas shoot blue. Niggas shoot traps. Niggas cut around the corners and shoot down the streets. Niggas shoot sharp branches at white women. Niggas shoot dope until they armed. Niggas shoot guns and rifles on New Year's Eve. A new year, if that is coming in, the white police would do more shooting at them. Where are niggas when the revolution needs some shots? Yeah, you know, niggas are somewhere shooting this shit. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are lovers. Niggas are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to see Clark Gable make love to Marilyn Monroe. Niggas love to see Todd and fuck over NATO. Niggas love to hear an old ranger yell, high on silver. Niggas love commercials. Niggas love commercials. Oh, how niggas love commercials. You can take niggas out of the country, but you can't take the country out of niggas. Niggas are lovers, are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to hear Malcolm rap, but they didn't love Malcolm. Niggas love everything but themselves. But I'm a lover too. Yep, I'm a lover too. I love niggas, I love niggas, I love niggas. Because niggas are me, and I should only love that which is me. I love to see niggas go through changes, love to see niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit. But there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. I'm talking to Renee Bass. Her thoughts and views about her research dealing with black lesbians, well, homosexuality in general. Is that clear there, sister? I mean, I was just curious, and I went to look for Raven Simone's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Thinking about what you said about a lot of these women being beautiful. Raven Simone's girlfriend is pretty.
Mhm.
I was like, "What the hell? Oh my goodness!" Now, she ain't real butchy type. That one I can go ahead and play football with and go ahead and punch in the mouth.
Right.
You know?
So that's what I'm saying. It's more to this story. You know what I mean? Because it's not about they can't get a man, they don't look good enough, they're fat. No, that's not the issue. It's way more. It's way more to it.
So what's the way more to it? I mean, what have you found?
I mean, you know, when I say there's way more to it, it's the fact that, you know, black women, we have so many other issues in our community that other races of women wouldn't dare have to ever think about. I mean, think about all the things that we have to overcome and we have to deal with every day. You know, and
right.
If you think back again, not to put everything upon slavery, but you have to acknowledge the impact that it had. But just think
about
black
women. Wait. Don't back down from that. A lot of things stem from that.
Look,
if you go ahead and you capture a wild animal, a couple of wild animals, because we were. And I don't want to make it seem like we were, you know, wild animals. I mean, we were free. And you go ahead and corral them, and then you teach them new traits. Because, you know, the generation, you know, it's going to be hard to go ahead and control them. But the upcoming generations, and you go ahead and force the male to go ahead and have sex with the female and go ahead and have the offspring and blah, blah, blah. They're going to have a whole new different mindset. You know, this is how they're supposed to be. And that's how the only way they go ahead and know how to be. You look at domesticated dogs, for instance, you know, and a lot of them, if you really pay attention to domesticated dogs, they wouldn't know how to go ahead and make it out there if they went out on their own, you know.
No.
And a lot of times a dog that's in the house, and if you go ahead and he survive on it, a lot of your domesticated dogs don't survive once they run out your house.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't know how to deal with what's going on. These are descendants of wolves. So that wildness is not in them anymore. That freedom is not in them anymore.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty much dependent on man.
Right.
So when you look at us and what's done to us as a people, a lot of things go ahead and mess us up. But we don't have the apparatus in place to go ahead and combat a lot of the nonsense that we hear and see.
Yes.
And I think that needs to, I'm trying, a lot of people are trying to go ahead and create our own type of media, because we really need that. We don't see a lot of real positive images. We see a lot of the nonsense. And I always say fantasy and materialism amongst black people is the most important thing, not real life, not reality.
Nope.
That ain't no reality. That's bullshit.
And whatever we doing bad, we got to do it the worst bad, the best bad. You know what I mean? We got to take it to the max. But I wanted to say this, though, and just envision this, and maybe whoever's listening, envision this. But go back to when we first arrived here, our ancestors, okay, came from Africa. From the moment we got here, black women were considered workers, right? We were considered breeders and workers, slaves. Okay, we never had the luxury or the quote-unquote perks that white women and other races of women had from being female, from being women, because we were considered just the same as a man, as property, as nothing. Only difference is they perhaps raped us a little more, and the only difference is we could pop out babies. So if you look at it in that term, see, this is why it upsets me when I hear so many black men saying they're going to date outside their race because they don't date black women in general. They generalize us. Or they talk about black women being too this or too that and as compared to other races of women. But that's a very unfair comparison, because you have to look at where it stems from. If you go all the way back, like I said, to that time, black women were forced to be more aggressive. Black women were forced to be more masculine. Black women were forced to be providers and protectors, just as black men or any race of man is considered to have to be. So we didn't get to be feminine and dainty and sit back and drink, you know, lemonade in the shade. We didn't get to do that like other races of women did. So, again, when you have those traumatic experiences, when you have those issues happen in your life, that ideology, that mentality is in the DNA, for one, but it also gets passed down to your children by how you treat them and relate to them and then to their children and on and on and on. So then you take that type of mentality, and then you can go take black people into maybe the 30s and 20s, 30s, and 40s and 50s, I'll say. And during that time, we saw a little bit of a transition, because then black people were having the nuclear family, the mom, the dad, and the children in the home. We started, having that kind of foundation. So you have that there. So women, black women, still in the midst of that, we still had to work now. Don't get me wrong. We didn't sit at home either. Now, white women, they could sit at home during that time, and their men worked. But because black people automatically are going to make far less money, they're automatically going to struggle much more. So the man and the woman always had to work in a black household. It's never really been the luxury of a black woman to not have to work in life. So if you look at it in that perspective, and then you consider that in the late 60s, 70s, we had the transition into the encouragement of single black mother homes. So there comes that whole force again where when we came over here, how we were looked at, right? You had to be a worker, you were a slave, you were a breeder, and that was it. You were a breeder and a slave. You had nothing else of value for you. And that's exactly what ended up happening to so many black women, and it's still the case today. They can pop out babies, and they can go out here and have to work and be in society. But when it comes to being able to have that feminine side is then lacking because we never had a chance to build it up like other women did. So it's always, to me, a very unfair comparison to try to say, oh, well, white women are better because they're more feminine, they're more this, they're more that. Well, did white women ever have to go through the level of discrimination and torture and rape and pain that black women did? Not only then, but now. Did they ever have to go through that? Did they ever have to consider turning on a television, looking in a magazine, looking at an ad, and none of the images reflect them? Nothing, even.
That bothers me so much. Oh, man, that bothers me a lot. That bothers me so much. And that's the reason I'd be like, oh, man, just change the channel, turn it off. You know, it's times I need to go here and look at certain things and stuff that I do like. But I can't find myself going ahead and, like a lot of people go ahead and get involved with some of these comedies and stuff like that. I can't watch none of them. You know, there's on like the ABC, the regular stations.
Right.
I can't look at none of them. I can't look at a lot of movies because I say they don't portray us in a positive light. I can't even force myself to look at that shit. I'm like, okay, so where is something going ahead and that I can identify with? It's almost nothing.
But let me tell you, what examples of black women are there out there now? There's Basketball Wives, Love and Hip Hop, The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and Scandal. Now, if you look at all those shows or whatever you want, however you want to call it, that are major hits among black women, there's an element there of being sexualized, of being hypersexual.
Hold on. I have never seen any one of them motherfuckers at all. Never.
Okay.
Never.
Because
I know what they were about, and when they, you know, a lot of times, you know, and there's a few others out there too that you didn't mention, but I know what they're all about, and I have never, ever seen none of that shit. Can't force myself to either.
I mean, the show Scandal, that is such a big hit, and I don't watch it either. But the main character, Kerry Washington, and I do like her, but she is the president's jump off, basically.
You know what? And here's the thing. And if you ever listen to Kerry Washington talk about her, about who she is and what she's about, it's totally the opposite of this character.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's just
totally the opposite. She's somewhat conscious.
To make it.
And I was shocked to go ahead and see her, you know, what she's into. It's kind of sad.
But see, you got to sell out in order to make it. You know, she couldn't really be herself and be successful. Not at all. She's got to be either, like I said, the slut or the mammy. You got to be either one. You either have to be easy or you have to be unattractive. And that's basically what it is to be successful as a black woman. You cannot be attractive and smart and witty and funny and be highly successful as a black woman in today's time. I mean, even if you looked at somebody like Oprah, she was fat. She was fat when she started. You know, she had a transition to try to lose weight, but people didn't consider her just the most beautiful woman, black woman. So there's a lane for her. See, there's a lane when you aren't all the way what they're fearful of. Look at somebody like Lupita, I can't say her last name, but she won the Oscar recently.
And right.
That beautiful, beautiful black woman, okay? See, that's the kind of beauty they're scared of. See, that right there is the beauty they are scared of. This is a natural black woman. She has her own hair, very short hair, okay? It's nappy, it's coarse, okay? Her skin is very dark, and she is very beautiful. She's thin. She's not fat. She's not overweight. She's not a mammy. So that's the type of black woman right there that they don't want us to see. They don't want her being
She got
on
a white
television.
Boyfriend?
Well, who? I mean, come on. But they don't want her on television.
Ain't being 100% perfect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they was going to jump on her like it's going out of style. You know, she's
mm-hmm.
African, too. I mean, come on. You know, that's a given. You know, no shock there. But
mm-hmm.
they don't want her type of beauty reflected because then that might give other dark-skinned girls saying, hey, I'm just as pretty. I'm good. I don't need to be like them to look good.
You know what? You
but
know,
see, they're going to limit her.
We're going to do a little overtime because if you want to hear the rest of the show, call-in number is 347-215-8465. If you have a question or a comment, please let us know. What was my question? It slipped me. You know, I had something that was going to go ahead and be a good segue. But go on, sister. It'll come back to me.
Okay. But, yeah, you know, that's the kind of black woman they're fearful of. So, when you look at how today's black women
I got it. Now
okay.
I remember. I remember hearing you, and you would get into a heated discussion with another sister. I can't remember that show you were on, but you were talking about the weave. And you were getting into it with her, and this other sister was defending it. Remember that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And I'm sitting there like, I'm floored. I'm like, hold on. They
came after me.
Yeah, they were coming after you. And I'm saying, well, these must be some horsehair wearing things themselves. Because my thing is like this. Why are we taking that? I get on guys, too. I mean, guys, you got your pants down on your ass and you showing your ass to another man. You know, that's crazy. But
right.
This is an industry that we once controlled, now it's controlled by Koreans and Indians. So why are you going ahead and help promote and push this industry, you know, and go ahead and, for one, it's like some self-hatred shit.
Absolutely.
You hate your appearance, so you want to go ahead and look like something that you're not. But you go
mm-hmm.
ahead, and it's more the more fake stuff you are, the better you come, the more you're comfortable with. But
absolutely.
The thing about it is that you helping send somebody else's kid to college. Well, you go ahead and every week or every 2 weeks go ahead and forking out $100 to almost $300 to go ahead and put that bullshit in your head. And I don't understand. My sister
yeah.
has a place, and sometimes she laughs at these knuckleheads. I'd be like,
yeah,
it's amazing. My sister says some crazy stuff, but she take their money. She take that money.
Mm-hmm.
My sister don't put that in her hair, and neither does my niece have it in her hair.
But see, that's the thing. Like with that, they try to argue me down, and try
right.
to say that it's not a self hate or that there's no issues behind that. Yes, the hell it is. And
yes,
for them
it is.
Like women.
Yeah, and you know,
I mean,
and when you were trying to mention that, I was trying to go ahead and call in your defense and go ahead and present. What I was just saying, and then some.
Yeah.
They was coming at you so hard, and I was like, wow, you know, you don't see it, you don't see it. I mean, it's either the synthetic stuff or the stuff they're getting from India. To me, it used to be a woman at work. Her stuff was always messed up. I don't give a damn. It was right after payday. She said she just got her hair fixed. And one day I just said, you look like you're just wearing a hairy ass football helmet. You know what I mean? You look like you grew a few. It looked fucked up. Man, we.
You know that was gonna be bad.
Huh?
I said you know that was gonna be bad.
Oh, she had so many issues with me after that day, man. It was bad, but you look and that's what I see. I mean, almost all the time, it don't look natural. It looked crazy, and it gave her like a lift. It made it look like she was
yes.
another two inches taller just with that hair, and it looks horrible. Man, I'm like, oh, and I see a lot of people like that. I see a lot of women like that. It's crazy.
I was telling them, and as black women, they know better, you know. And I told them, I said, there's a lot of black women who won't go outside the house unless their weave is done right. Oh, well, I've never seen that. Well, I don't know women like that. I said, well, maybe you don't, but I do. And there's a lot of sisters who it's all about the weave for them. They got to make sure their weave is done right. And, you know, you're defending all of this, and that's fine and good. And to a certain level, there is a fashion element to it because, as women, we like to be versatile and change it up and have variety, and that's all well and good. But let's not act like there's not the element of good hair, bad hair in the black community. Let's not act like when we were young and little girls, everybody would talk about nappy hair and you had to get a relaxer or you got a kitchen in the back of your head or you got buckshots or nap. Okay, let's not act like it was just, oh, great, so wonderful to have naturally nappy and coarse hair. And that's the thing that was killing me about it, is they know the things that I was saying was true, but see, people will defend anything that they really like or they want to do, and they will make it justified if they can. So, you know, there's an element now, even if it's not right in your face, of self-hate, especially when you see these black women with these super long weaves that are blonde. I mean, these colors are blonde. These colors are all, you know, things that are here are not going to be that color. They're the color of white women's hair. And typically, now there are black people who have blonde hair, but still, you understand what I'm saying? Most of this is to emulate the looks of white women or other races of women. So when you do that, see, that shows you the level of sickness that we have in a lot of ways, because you're putting something in your head that you know is not your hair, that does not match your hair texture, that does not match your hair color, is completely different. But yet you put in your hair and then you walk around in society as if it is really your hair growing out of your head, and you know that everybody sees this and they know it's not your hair. Everybody sees that's not your hair, and they know that's not your hair. So see, the attachment.
There was a woman I saw today. Oh, shit, was like, I don't know, it was like pink or hot pink or what the hell. But check this out. She had on a coat with matched her hair, and I could see like the blouse she had on, the shirt she had on, matched her hair. The pants she had on, matched her hair, her fingernails, matched her hair, pants, the shoes.
Wow.
And I almost walked into a door looking at her. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Wow. Yeah. You know, but that's the sickness. That's how sick it is. Because they know this stuff does not look real on you. You know you're not fooling nobody. But yeah, you're okay with it because it makes you feel better.
The little, you know, like when you get the little dolls, the little Barbie dolls, her hair, the hair she had on her hair was the texture of that, you know, synthetic type stuff.
Absolutely. I know what you,
And I kept walking, and I literally almost walked into a door like, ooh, shit, I'm going to fuck myself up looking at this clown. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I ain't got no, she looked retarded.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a lot of and I think they looking good. They looking good. And it's sort of like, girl, don't you got no damn mirrors in your house, baby? Go ahead and look at hell your ass. How your ass look? You look ridiculous.
Yep.
Ain't nobody telling you. You need the mirror to talk. You look like, you know, mirror on the wall. Do I look like a fool? Hell yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah, you do. Right. You know, but, oh, my gosh, it's just sad because that's why this video about black women and black lesbianism, it's been so tough because as a black woman speaking to other black women, you know, speaking to everybody, but speaking about black women in general, that's a tough thing because there's so much I know from the inside, you know what I mean? And it's so much I want to say to some of my sisters, and it's sad because, you know, I'm pretty critical on different people, but I'm very critical on black women. And a lot of people say, well, it's not their fault. All of this stuff is not their fault. Well, that's fine and good. But one of the things as black women we have to remember is at the end of the day, when you have that baby, it's coming up out of you. When you have that baby, they're going to throw it on your chest. They're going to say that milk is going to come out of you to feed that baby, you know, if you go that route. And whenever anything happens with that child, they're always going to say, where's your mama? Where's your mother at? So if you think about it in terms of the level of responsibility that a woman is taking on when she has a child out of wedlock, then you need to understand that if you miss that step, there are consequences for that. And the problem is that a lot of these women are not really caring about the consequences because it's about a moment of pleasure or a certain situation. And so I do put a lot of fault on black women because at the end of the day, we have a lot of choice in the matter. You know, I don't like the fact that we have so many abortions as black women. And the sick part about that is we hardly ever get up as a unit and say anything about it. I've seen all these congressional hearings or different meetings about abortion and the people from Planned Parenthood and all this kind of stuff, which a lot of black people don't know about that either. But that's a whole different story. But when you look at it and they're fighting about Roe versus Wade, they're talking about abortion rights in states and things. What a lot of black women don't realize is they're talking about you. They're talking about you. Because in the state of New York, was it last year or a couple of years ago, more babies, black babies, were aborted in New York State than were born. What does that say about us? And then if you look at since Roe versus Wade took place, oh, man, I have to get these numbers, but it's something like 4 million. It's in the millions of black babies have been aborted. So there is a problem there. So it's multiple problems. So when I say things about black women and when I give black women fault, there's a reason because of it. And through all the pain and struggle that we have went through, the thing that remains is you can do better, but you've got to know better first. You've got to want to know better. That's why, you know, a lot of people say, about being gay, you're born gay and all that. You're not. But see, once you get a level of consciousness, you can overcome anything mentally. But a lot of black women don't ever gain that level of consciousness to be able to overcome, you know, going into lesbian relationships or having children out of wedlock or being with promiscuous. They never really get the right mindset to know that it's wrong because they've seen everybody else do it. So they just going along with the trend.
What's those two gay dudes, two black gay dudes got there? What, did they critique movies or something?
Oh, no, the Fashion Queen?
Yeah, don't call them that.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and see, black women
where is the lesbian shows like that? You don't really, only one you really see with a lesbian show is, let me see, well, Rachel Maddow and Ellen DeGeneres, and Ellen ain't funny to me.
No,
but you don't see, why don't they have any shows?
I don't know. It will probably be happening very soon. I mean, like I said, our examples on television are already none, practically. And the ones that are phony reality things that are bad for us. But like the Fashion Queen, that's a joke. You know, it's really a joke. And the sad part about it is black women fostered this bullshit. They are the ones who hang with these guys. They're the ones who put them in their business. They're the ones who put them on the show. They're the ones who gossip with them. So black women have a lot of blame in that too. And now you have these guys who got their start on being on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, now having their own show.
Wait, that's how they started?
Oh, yeah. They were both, they're both hairdressers, actually. And one was a hairdresser to one of the people on the first season. And the other one, he was, I think, Candy's beautician. And he was well-known in Atlanta because he wears a lot of heels and boots with heels on them. He wears platform in high heel shoes with everything. So, yeah, and that's what happened. So black women are behind that.
Wow.
Yep. Sure, yep. Sure.
Wow.
I mean, and that's why I talk about all these people like Funky Dineva and these people who imitate black women, yet black women flock to them. They love them. They will curse you out. I just got a message today because I had put a comment a while back on that funky whatever person, the Dineva's page, because I was saying, you all are some silly black women. And so they were coming back at me, and she went off on me, and you're just a hater, and blah, 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 blah. And I told her, I said, it's really sad that you consider this funny and you don't even realize what's really going on. So then she messages me back, why so serious? It's just fun. And see, that's the problem. Yes, she did. Yes,
that's
she did.
That's retarded.
Yep, that's what she told me. It's just fun.
Fun.
It's
just fun. So it's gonna be fun when that gay dude coach her son and to go ahead. That's crazy.
Yep, that's gonna be real funny when that happens, or when your when your son puts on one of your wigs and makeup and say, "Mama, like that man you was watching." Yeah, that's gonna
right.
be funny. Yeah, that's gonna be real hilarious. You know,
yeah.
But again, that's the mentality.
Wow. Goodness, she gave me another kick in the stomach there. What the hell?
I'm sorry. Yep. It's just fun. It's fun. That's how it is. It's fun.
Mm.
It's fun.
You know, sister, we gonna run it in right there. And I want you to come back. When you gonna be available to come back? Because you gave a lot of information. I think you got a whole lot more to put out.
When do you usually do your shows? Is it during the week?
During the week, and I have been doing shows on the weekends, but my schedule changed. So I'm going to be trying to schedule my show about 8:30 every night if I can. The next couple of nights I'll probably be running some recordings of some past shows. So, you know, you should go ahead and try and listen to them all other shows so you get a different vibe. But I'm trying to get some other people to come in and join on as a panel.
Okay.
So, because I had done shows, because I need to go ahead and do them consistently. I had, you know, got some personal issues I had to deal with, plus, you know, I had some personal issues to deal with. So, a lot of that stuff's gotten straightened out, and so I can come back, because it's like, it's either something that's going on, or it's personal, or it's business.
Right.
So, that's why, you know, I don't be on, because otherwise I would damn near be on every night. And I was trying to be on Saturdays, but, you know, my schedule changed, so I can't do the Saturday afternoon show like I was doing. And I was enjoying that. That was a lot of fun. Those were getting heated and wild. But, sister, let's see. I'll text you and see when we go ahead and set the Yeah, because tomorrow I just want to go ahead and run a couple recordings of a past show that I'm trying to figure which one is relevant, because there's some stuff I spoke on. Also, one thing that I had been talking about was this is tax season, and how black folks like to go ahead and get tax money and go ahead and waste it on nonsense and garbage instead of going ahead and this is the best time to go buy land and property. In the U.S. and abroad.
Yeah.
But people want to go ahead and buy this messed up car that's only going to last them a few more months, and I don't get. Instead of going ahead and let's go ahead and get this land and make it create something, and we can go ahead and get us a brand new car, maybe have one custom made or built. Our minds are not really on economics. They're on bullshit.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
So, but yeah, sister, thanks for coming by. I'm going to send you a text, and we're going to talk a little bit more.
All right.
Don't go ahead and run by all the stuff you that's fine. You know what? I'm going to talk to you because there's some stuff I need to get with you about. Okay?
Okay.
All right, everyone. That's my show. Thanks for coming. Enjoy your evening.
Yeah, I want to do this address for judgment. Like some boy keep some election the other day, man, and then win some seats. You gotta swear them out, do it because I've always done problem now. Watch this.
Now you win, you vote. Baby, what is it you gonna promote? Babylon. Now you win, you see. Tell me, what you gonna do for the youth, them on the street. Now you win, you vote. Baby, what is it you gonna promote? Babylon. Now you win, you see. Tell me. What you gonna do for the youth them on the street? You know where they them and them big shipments are gone. We should talk to the youth them in a this slum. Every day them and them gone. And them not stop gone till them gone a black brother dumb. Then them say them a go read the budget. Promises all that them left. Until now none a fulfill yet. At the firebird. Now you win you vote. What is it you gonna promote? Now you win, you seek. What you gonna do for the youth them on the street? Now you win, you vote, politician. What is it you gonna promote? Now you win, you seek. Well, what you gonna do for the youth when you keep street party? And we can't keep a dance. And to the youth you give no chance. You're living in a high scaper, skyscraper. Sleeping in a presidential suite. We do the work, you get the praises. While you drink champagne and say cheers. Bobby Rock, boy. Politician, boy, Lord. Now you will, you vote. Tell me what is it you gonna promote now, now. Now you will, you see. Politician, tell me what you doing for the youth, them on the street. Now you will, you vote. Now you win, you see. Tell me, what you gonna do? The city make the youth them a hungry in the street. Youth them a haunted, some me see. Youth them a hungry in the street. Youth them a wanted, some me repeat. But stolen garbage and broken sewage. Mosquitoes and flies. The place can take, just anything can take us. Out there for a ride. Watch out, you step it. Watch out, you move it. Be wise, get the youth. Oh Lord, very well. Now they win them vote. Tell me what is it they gonna promote. Now they win the seat. Tell me what they gonna do for the youth them on the street. Now they win them vote. Through why? Tell me what is it you gonna promote for the trees. Now you win, you seek. What you gonna do now, yo? In a way, the other one, them big shipments are gone. If you talk to the youth, them in a this slum. If you hear them and them gone. And them not stop gone till them gone, them black brother, though. Then they say they want to read the budget. Promises